your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And good evening to the Para-X universe. You are listening to the Odyssey Files at 6 p.m. I think I actually got it like right on time. I am the host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, and has been for about 15 minutes now, a new record, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering.
Yeah, boy. That's right. On a Monday after a long, long weekend, I snuck in here. And I was like, man, what am I doing on air this fast? And look, my Skype isn't trying to update. Oh, my God, my computer's working flawlessly. So Mike and I have been chatting uncomfortably for 15 minutes because we didn't know what to say to each other.
It's almost like maybe we're not cursed anymore.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But
why? Are you cursed?
No, not anymore.
Oh, well, good. Well, I actually had the day off from work, so...
Lucky you. I didn't have the day off.
Yes.
But I went in late. I did go in late, and I got yelled at.
Why? You told me you weren't going to be in.
I know. From, like, 11 to 5 today, and I got there at, like, 11:40. And so they were like, well, thanks for being here at 11. I'm like, hey, sorry. I, you know, got about four and a half hours of sleep in the last 3 days, and it was just like really, really busy, so it felt really good to lay in bed this morning and be lazy. But they got over it. Everything's good.
Gotcha. So tonight was supposed to be a really interesting evening. We were going to chat with
Dave Giulio.
Probably one of our favorite guests. Mr. Dave Giuliano, but apparently he's a no-show for the third time. He's 1-4.
We got to preempt that with he's definitely one of our favorite guests when he's here.
Yes.
That's not a dig, Dave, if you're listening at home, buddy, but call. Pick up the phone and call in, man, because we were going to finish up the show that we started last time, so...
And it was a really good show. I played it last week on purpose, you know, just to kind of get everybody that's listening now up to speed.
Right.
And then we get hacked. hacked up.
Yeah.
So, but one of the things that we were going to talk to him about were cases that we are currently working on. We haven't done the investigation yet. But we wanted to discuss it with them. But we're still going to do that. We're just going to kind of discuss it between the two of us.
Here's what I think.
Sure.
I think that, I know we're going to discuss it. So what I think is we should discuss it like amongst ourselves, but take a bunch of pauses so that all of our listening audience can chime in and say, oh my God, I can't believe you guys are going to be on that type of investigation. This is what I think you should look out for, or this is what you should ask. So it should be like an interactive type of thing.
I agree. But interact with who?
Well, you know, I'm not in the chat room. How many people are in there?
Two.
All right. Well, that's four of us total. Well, damn it. We're going to get some questions out of
Barbara. Barbara is going to be our guest tonight.
All right. Barbara, you're our guest tonight.
As long as she's at work and doesn't have to commute, she can be our guest tonight. She can just type into the chat room all of the answers, and I will read them verbatim.
There you go.
Perfect. So tonight's guest is the Para-X chat room.
There you go. We can actually do better than that. We're doing good.
Yeah. So, anyway, but we actually did.
We actually have a couple good cases coming up. So
yes, we do. Before we get into that, though, so we Dave and I were having a discussion.
Yes.
Before the show.
Yes.
That we wanted to bring into the light. That I thought was interesting. And that is his take on what is going to happen after he dies.
Yes. So here's basically what I told Mike. So upon my deathbed, when I take my last breath, and if, and I shouldn't say if, so when my faith has been proven and Jesus is standing there in his beautiful flowing robes, and he's at the end of the white light tunnel, and he holds his arms out and he says, Dave, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of the Lord, where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more misery, no more pettiness, no more hatred, no more racism, no more anger, and everything that I've been looking forward to. And at that point, I'm going to ask him if this is basically a one-time deal, because I got some unfinished stuff I got to take care of back here on the planet, because I told Mike, I didn't promise him, but I told him, and so Mike will somehow twist this around into a promise, I guarantee you, just pay attention, that when I die, that I am going to still co-host this show, at least temporarily, for a couple episodes with Mike. So I'm going to ask Jesus if we can, like, trade numbers, you know, some contact info, stuff like that. And I can go kind of take care of some business I have to take care of. And then, you know, give him a ring and say, hey, you know, it's Dave. And, you know, I'm ready now. Can we redo the whole beautiful white light ceremony thing again? And, you know, if we can, fantastic. And if we can't, well, then I told Mike he's bumming, because if it's a one-way ticket and it's a one-way offer, then I'll just wait until I get to see Mike again while he comes prancing through the gates. Prancing, I like that term. That goes well
prancing?
With it goes well with your picture of the pie anyway. That did make you look slimmer. Did you see that? I gave you a
compliment. I did.
Yeah.
No, I did. I saw that.
I did. It did. It was a good picture of you, actually.
Yes. I don't frown very much. So no. It kind of took my cheeks and sucked them down and in.
Yeah. It was more of a scowl. It was a scowl.
Right. It was a glaring scowl.
Yes, it was definitely a scowl. It was a pie scowl, and I can understand why you would scowl, because you were totally shorted on your pie quota. So we'll get into that later in the show.
Yes, later in the show we will explain.
We're going to explain about the
how
pie
and the paranormal mix.
Yeah, how they go together, hand in hand.
So, but I want to get back to your little afterlife thing. So let me get this straight.
Yes.
So here's what I don't understand.
Yes.
You think that after you die, I'm going to allow you to be co-host of the show?
Well, I think at that point you really don't have any say-so in it. So I think what's going to happen
I kind of do.
I'm going to pass it. Yeah. But see, I'm no longer on your parameters at that point. You know what I'm saying?
But,
so, like, I'm going to show up when I want to, you know, kind of like how some of your team is now. Right. I'm going to show up when I want to. And I'm just going to, like, you know, if I feel like participating in the program, I will. And that's not a.
Oh, you completely went out on that one. Like, your audio is, like, gone. Nope, your audio is gone. Oh, this curse is back. Nope, nothing. Nope. You're gone. Whatever. Anyways, I'm not going to allow him to be part of the show after he passes away. So, how about this? Dave, I will give you 10 seconds right now to say whether, you know, give me a reason for why you need to be part of the show after you die. Oh, okay. Yep. Uh-huh. Nope. Guess you really don't you really don't have a reason because I still can't hear you. Oh, guess you're done. So I think that I do think that Para X has a life clause where the hosts have to be alive in order to. So you need to figure out your computer because, like, there's seriously no sound. I'm going to just take this by myself. This is what life is like without Dave. No, definitely. I do believe that Skype is, what's the word I'm looking for, is a program from hell. So, yes, there's definitely no Skype in heaven. I do believe that maybe Periscope might be available in life. Okay, so Dave hung up. I'm gonna try to get him back here. I don't know what the issue was. He probably had to restart his computer or something. So hold on, you can probably hear it through my... All right, just coming back. Are you with me? Nope, your audio's gone.
Is it gone?
Oh, there you are. Hey, welcome back.
Hey. Hi, everybody. I had to go on a little vacation there for a second.
Like I said, it's just, what's the word we're looking for here? It was just a slight example of what life would be like on this show without Dave.
Yes, there you go. And I didn't hear any of it because I actually shut the program down and logged off. So I hope it was good.
No, it was quite terrible, actually.
Oh, well.
As good as I am at talking, I'm not very good at talking.
Without me?
Like, just not very good at talking randomly. Like, if I would have had somebody ask me a question, I'd have been like, I could have answered it.
Yes.
But with just, like, the free-forming, is that what it's called?
Right. Yeah.
Freestyling? Yeah.
Freestyling.
I cannot audio DJ freestyle.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
I have to have a topic.
Yeah, yes. That's what I'm here for.
You are the wall that my words bounce off of.
There you go. Absolutely perfect.
So
glad to be here. Glad I can help
you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Although I do have to say that if she agrees to it, and I'm kind of waiting for that, we might have a special guest later in the show.
Yes, very special.
Very, very special to us. But we'll have to see. She was worried about toddler interference. So, I told her that's okay. I have a toddler next to me as well. Talking about you.
I'm not even going to comment on that.
She thought that was hilarious. So I'm sure you know that.
I'm sure she did. Yeah.
Okay. Getting into a more serious tone here. So
yes.
Dave and I have a couple cases that we're working on, or about to work on. I was actually supposed to do an investigation last night at this place, and thankfully it got moved to next week, simply because I investigated Friday night, investigated Saturday night. Three busy nights in a row was just a little bit too much.
Yeah, it was busy.
So this case both intrigues me and bothers me, only because of the humongous escalation that happened during it. So the couple in question, I won't say their names.
Nope.
They moved into an old house that used to be like a boarding house for the railroad in a small town in southern Minnesota.
And it's not that old, though, so point that out. It's not super old. Right. We're not talking like 1750s or 1840s or anything like that.
Exactly. So probably mid-50s, I think. Yep. Probably. Yeah, it's not an old house.
No.
And The former owner did die. I've actually found it in the house. I've actually found his obituary. It's not quite confirmed about whether it was like an accident or whether it was a suicide.
Or if it was something else.
Well, I wasn't going to go that far at this point in time, but yes. Or whether it was something else. He did die of alcohol poisoning, I'm thinking is what it was. He was pretty much drank himself to death. But that happened in the house. It has been confirmed. I am getting old. I used to be able to pick out words.
Just do sign language.
That was the goal.
It'll work.
Yeah. Just use sign language.
Yeah, so, it'll be okay.
It's not sure what the goal was. What the motivation. There we go. What the motivation was. So this new couple, married 4 years, together 10, have a 9-month-old daughter. They move into the house about 3 months ago and immediately start renovating. Over the next 3 months, the only thing that ever happened was they heard what sounded like their significant other calling to them. And then they weren't home. You know, the other person wasn't home. Happened with the husband twice, happened with the wife once. And that was it. Nothing else. So, I mean, you can easily, you know, maybe somebody was yelling outside. I mean, you can throw that away. I mean, for, you know, all intents and purposes, you probably can find a natural explanation.
Yes.
So then about 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden it jumped in such a way that, like, I don't even think a TV show could keep up. Like, it would just be like the next day, and then, you know, it'd be a half hour worth of stuff. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, I was slamming doors, or a slamming door, bathroom door slammed shut with no windows open. Then there was a constant knocking on the wall. And it was, most people, you know, when they think of like a demonic, they think of not, you know, like the three taps or
the three
whatnot.
Knocks. Yep.
Yes, exactly. This was not that. She actually sent me a video of it, which I played for Dave, and it seriously sounded like somebody was just knocking on the door and, you know, trying to get in. It was, I mean, it was just, it was constant for, you know, the 19-second video that I had. And it was loud. I mean, it wasn't.
Except for the fact it's not coming from the door. It's coming from the wall where she's sitting.
Exactly. They actually ended up leaving the bedroom during one of the first nights that they were hearing this and slept in the living room. And to which that night, which she didn't tell me right away, she said she was embarrassed to do so, told me that for 5 minutes, 5 minutes now, keep that in mind, she saw a figure standing at the base of her recliner that she was sleeping in, so right next to her feet, that was wearing all black in a hoodie, and all she could see was the nose and mouth. For 5 minutes, it just stood there and looked at her. She said she after that amount of time, she tried to move her foot over to kind of touch it, and it disappeared. Found out later that at a later date, she actually saw the same figure again up in her bedroom another night when she was sleeping. So now we have, so all of a sudden, in the span of a day, we have slamming doors, knocking, apparitions. From there, it moved up to scratching. She was scratched multiple times. Mother now. She's had two priests that I know of try to come out and bless the house. Both obviously have been very unsuccessful. Right before the first one did, she was going to the bathroom. The door slammed shut and locked. She actually could not get out. Her husband had to come and kick the door in order to get her out. I'm sure I'm missing, you know, besides obviously the scratching, the knocking, the slamming doors locked in. There was another claim. She saw a nun, like shaking her finger at her.
Yeah. Like doing the like, no, kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. No idea where that came from. I mean, it really has like no bearing at all on what else is going on.
Well, as far as we know.
As far as we know, you are correct. There's a lot that we don't know.
Correct.
Let's see here. What I mean, there's a lot other stuff.
No, so we can point out here too. The husband has experienced a couple things, but really doesn't seem to be affected at all. And the daughter, their 9-month-old daughter, also does not seem to be suffering any type of ill. Any type of ill will directed towards her or any type of harassment or anything like that.
That is correct. Right. So it's just centered on her. We did get some background information. There was a woman who used to live with the old owner. And she was actually the one that found him. So she said that she thought that it was... suicide. The days prior to him passing, he would not come out of his room. He was drinking like a fish. He would not take his insulin. You know, he would not go outside. Nothing. Her granddaughters brought a Ouija board into the house and used it multiple times.
You have to pause when you say Ouija board so I can do that. You know, like make some horrific, scary noise because. We all know how Dave feels about Ouija boards.
We all feel that way about Ouija boards.
Not everybody.
So, well, I just said Ouija board, and you didn't do anything.
I did. I said, dun, dun, dun.
Well, no, I meant just a second ago, and I said, we all feel the way about Ouija boards.
Oh, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do it every single time. Sorry.
We
got to practice. Sorry.
Obviously, on the fly improv is not one of our strong suits.
No, it is. It's just after a long weekend. Okay, I'm just a tad bit off right now, but I was here early tonight, so that makes up for it. So,
how does that make up for it?
Well, because I was here early.
All right. So when the only reason they really stopped using the Ouija board. Wow, way off. Way late. I'm not even going to pause anymore because that, no. We're going to have like 5 minutes of dead air every if that's going to be the case.
I'll be better. I'm working on it.
So, another time, perhaps.
All right.
I guess the planchet went crazy one time and they pretty much got all freaked out and they never used it in the house again. What was also found out?
Let me point out something there. Sure. I'm going to guess that when the planchet went crazy and they all freaked out, that they didn't bother to close that session. That's just a guess. Just a stab in the dark.
I mean, this question was not asked, and it probably I wasn't doing the interviewing.
No, I know. I'm just saying it's probably just a stab in the dark, and I'm probably wrong. But you know.
Oh, I was going to say I don't think typically, like the younger. I don't want to say the younger generation, but like granddaughter type, you know, grandchildren type, probably don't know enough about the Ouija board to know what closing the session actually means.
Yeah.
So they probably didn't close a single session they ever did.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And that's even better that somebody would allow them to play with the Ouija board, whoever the responsible adult was in the house. So, I mean, just saying.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It was also said that this woman who found the former owner went in there just before he passed, like the time before, and she said that he kind of looked over at her, and his eyes were pure black.
Mm-hmm. And that had nothing to do with the Ouija board.
No, absolutely not.
Nope.
So we have this case now. We have no idea what actually prompted this like major increase in activity.
Right.
We were, like I said, we were going to investigate it last night. I needed it moved. But one of the things that has come up is a man that I'm hoping to have on the show at some point in time in the near future. Man, the name of Bobby Sullivan, who is a medium healer or a psychic healer, medium. One of the people that were the one that actually brought the case to me, went to him because he just to, you know, kind of get him to pray for him on it because he was about to do the walkthrough by himself. And Bobby pretty much told him that he's in over his head, not to go, and that there were three nasty spirits there.
That's not good.
No, that's not good. No.
So here's the question. What are three nasty spirits doing there, laying low for so long, and then immediately choosing to rear their ugly head and start attacking and showing themselves and causing major disturbances? I definitely could see there'd be three spirits, though, because there's enough. I saw the video. There's enough knocking for about 15 spirits, to be honest with you. I mean, it's like a popcorn machine going off. Pop, 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 pop. It's just random. It's just random knocks, but they're just continuous. They're just crazy. I've never heard anything like that. And I've seen some nasty cases with knocking. I've never seen anything like that. It's nuts.
Yeah. And she says it happens every couple of hours. Well, so it's not like it happens for, you know, 20 seconds and then they're free for the rest of the day.
Right.
As far as I know, they are not even, they don't even sleep in the house anymore.
Which is a shame.
It's an absolute shame. That was that was the last update I heard that, and things have might have changed by now. I do not know, because I as well kind of I was not going to be able to provide them help as fast as they needed, so I actually turned it over to another friend of mine who runs a team kind of out of central south Minnesota. I just kind of offered my assistance, which is why I was going to be involved in that investigation. So there's a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to this case. And as an investigator, you know, we pretty much need to know everything that is going on. I mean, it's only attacking the wife. Why?
Yes.
You know, what caused him to suddenly burst through the wall, so to speak, and start, you know, making themselves known? I mean, they were there for 3 months.
I would say that they were longer than that. Right?
No, I meant the family.
That's my initial take on this thing, is that they've been there for a while. So
I meant the family.
Yes. I think that the negative entities have been there for a while, because and like Mike and I were talking about on our way back up from Iowa. I think if the gentleman who died by basically locking himself in his room and drinking himself to death, and he was a diabetic, I think, and not taking his insulin, I think that would be a very realistic case of a severe oppression or partial possession. I hate using the word possession. I see oppression still happening a lot. But it's the whole thing with his eyes turning black. Something there. That's a major clue as to what's going on, in my opinion.
Agreed. You know, it just kind of. I'm wondering if she thinks that, and I can't say for sure, you know, yes or no, obviously, but she thinks she has a gift where, even though I don't consider it a gift, where she would have a dream about somebody that she knows dying. And then, like, within the next couple weeks, that person would die.
Is that, that's the homeowner?
That's the wife
at the house.
That's the lady. Yes.
I didn't know that. That's new news to me.
Oh, my apologies.
No, that's okay. That's why I asked, because I have not heard that before. So, yeah, that's
so. If she has gifts, that would obviously make it. It's almost like a difference between a normal person to a demon would be a T-bone steak. Whereas somebody with gifts would be the filet mignon with lobster.
Yeah. And all you could drink champagne. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could definitely be a reason for why they're just suddenly going after that one person.
Well, here's my question. And I guess since this is new information to me, too, is... has she ever had a near-death experience or died? Because a lot of times that type of event happening in your life would open up doors that might allow you to see things like somebody who's close to you going to be harmed or killed or just a natural death or whatever. You know, I don't know if she was born with that. I'd be surprised. I would think that something happened that caused that to happen.
Do not know. That question, as far as I know, has not been asked. Okay. There is two more things to add. Yep. Probably. I mean, I kind of alluded to them, but more specific. The investigator then went in by himself. I was not involved in that decision. That wouldn't have happened. To do the walkthrough, said he felt absolutely nothing at all in the house. No ill feeling, you know, no uncomfortability until he got to the daughter's bedroom.
Which makes no sense.
Are you laughing at my inability to enunciate
words? I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with
yes,
you.
Yes, you are.
You were laughing,
no, you're
and so I
I'm not laughing, laugh. Though.
Well, you were.
So. I'm not. Let's just turn this into a bicker session.
No.
Nope. So, and then he got a headache, and he felt like he was being stabbed in the stomach. He had pains that severe. They went out into the kitchen. I don't know if I agree with it or not. I don't know if I would have done it or not. But did the spiel of, you know, you are not allowed to harm anybody in this house. You are not allowed to follow us home or follow, you know, him home and, you know, that kind of thing. And he said, do you understand? And like almost immediately, the wife was like, my back is burning. And they looked, and even though I haven't seen a photo of it yet, he said that there were scratches on her back that looked like they were in the shape of an N.
Sure. That's what it stands for. Not
yes,
sure.
Yes, for not sure.
Not sure. Do you understand? I'm not sure. So that's what we thought.
No, that's what you thought. We all think it means no.
Well, I would like to see the photos, so...
So would I. Not sure if he took it. But, yeah. So that happened.
So once again, so let's throw something out, okay? All right, so this is just an observation and my personal beliefs on this observation. This is not anything like written in any type of textbook on investigating or anything like that. But if you walk into a situation and there is potentially a negative entity and you don't carry with you some sort of white light, blessing from the church, a member of the church, something like that, don't walk into a situation as Joe average person who has a 9-to-5 job and does something like this on the weekends and think for one second that you have the authority to tell a negative, malevolent, potentially demonic entity that it doesn't have the right to do anything in the house that it wants to do, because you have zero power over that entity, and all you're going to do is aggravate it, and you're leaving, and that entity is going to lash out at the people who are left behind.
To his credit, at the time, we were under the impression that it was the former owner, and that was it. Everything, like the black eyes of the former owner, the three nasty spirits, that all came after the walkthrough.
Okay.
So to his credit,
This is not a particular stab at any one person. This is right.
I understand.
A blanket statement for anybody.
Yes.
Right. If you don't carry any type of authority with you, do not think that you have that authority all of a sudden to go in and make some sort of change, because all you're going to do is you're going to aggravate what is there, and it's just going to lash out. And you're leaving, yes. And the person who's going to be harmed even more is the people that are left behind.
That is why when I originally heard of him doing it, I was like, damn it. Because I don't really have I don't really have any good or bad things to say about that. It was a
game time decision, I guess, right?
Yes.
To use that term, yeah. Kind of.
There we
it was
go.
A game that, time yes. decision. He was trying to do what he thought was best.
Yes. So,
but keep that in mind, if nothing else, for our listeners.
That is an absolute great piece of advice. The other thing that I have really begun to take to heart and believe it to be absolutely true is the only thing that you can ever command a spirit to do is leave.
I would say that that's probably a fairly accurate statement.
Came from Amy Allen, so you know. Hey.
Well, there you go. I like Amy.
I do too. Did not come up with that myself. But
we're going to see her in a couple of months.
Yes. Well, month and a half.
Yeah.
At Paracon. Sorry.
Da-da-da.
I think every time I say Paracon, I'm just going to do it like that.
I think that's fantastic.
Too.
I think that's great.
Thank you.
You sound good.
I do, don't I?
Yeah.
So that's all that extra sleep I've been getting. So we have that case coming up next week. So if anybody next week remembers this show and is just sitting there with their significant other and is like, you know what? I feel like praying.
Yep.
Send the good thoughts our way.
Yep.
You know, I've never been one to think that it works, but it can't hurt.
And I'm the antithesis of that, is that I know that it works, and I always will welcome prayer and good thoughts for safety, for others, and for us.
Yes. So. It is more than welcome and appreciated.
Yeah.
So, three, Dave.
Yes, sir. Three different spirits?
Yeah.
That's three, what, three. Right. That's what the. Did you touch on who said that? I'm sorry. It's we've been talking.
That was Bobby Sullivan.
Okay. So three different negative entities. You know, could it be like a general and then like two field soldiers, or is it like three generals? Because you know.
Well, that's what we're about to find out.
Yeah. Well, you are.
Right. Right. So. We're going to go to break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to move on to...
We're going to entertain you some more.
Yes, we're going to entertain you some more with another case that we have coming up in 2 weeks. Three weeks. And this one is pretty weird. So, yeah. We will be back here shortly. You're listening to Odyssey Files on Para X.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para X Radio Network for the Para Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
That we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock, The Dark Sun Rising, on the Para X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
A non-response.
Woot woot! We're back! I don't know why I started laughing. I shouldn't be able to get to octaves that high.
Sleep deprivation. It's all like
it is not sleep. No. I think this is too much sleep.
Oh so yeah, you had the day off today, so you probably like lounged around in bed until about 3 o'clock.
Actually, I didn't. I lounged around in bed till 10:30. Got up, made pancakes from scratch with chocolate chips, and then I actually did mow the lawn.
Oh, good for you.
So
nice.
And then I lounged. For another couple hours until the show.
Well, when you eat pancakes and cut grass, you have to take like an hour or two siesta. That's already in the book. That's written. I saw that somewhere. I read that. So you're good.
I agree. So we're going to move on to our next case.
All right, next case.
So this one came in through our website. And Dave and I have gone to meet with them, and I have talked enough. Dave, why don't you take this one?
Okay. So this case had kind of a 911 emergency call feel to it. It was things were starting to happen in the house that were causing a lot of... concern and a lot of beginning stages of fear and uncomfortableness, stuff like that. So I'm not going to go into all of the details for every single claim, because if I did, the show would be over. That's how many there are on this particular case. But I'm gonna touch on some of the highlights, and then I'll touch on what Mike and I kind of ran across when we actually went to the site. So we scheduled the initial meeting. You know, it's our meet and greet. So basically we've already done the initial conversation with the client. You know, plan a time to get together with them. And that's what we did. And, we usually take about an hour, you know, that's kind of how they go. It's about an hour long. We ask some questions. They answer some questions. We do a walkthrough of the house, stuff like that.
This particular one, we took a couple pieces of equipment, and so we usually plan on spending an hour. We were at this location 3 hours. The entire 3 hours was, and I am not exaggerating here, pretty much the entire 3 hours was a complete synopsis of everything that is happening to the family, is happening at the house, has happened at prior locations to the family, and to different children that they have, and why they think that some of this stuff might be happening. So Mike and I go in, we cruise in there, we do our initial sit down, you know, say hi to everybody. It is a native case. It's a Native American case. I have been on a few in the past. I'm a little leery to move forward with Native cases just because they're different. They don't fall under the same guidelines as a, let's say, a Catholic religion case. So they're a little different in that respect. But we went in and, you know, we met with them. We listened to everything that they had to say. We talked to them. We did the whole tour of the house. And Mike and I were standing in the master bedroom, and the homeowners were standing behind us. And they said, you know, I feel uncomfortable in here, and I'm not really sure what's going on, but there's, you know, the door opens by itself. There's a feeling of being watched and a feeling of uneasiness in here. And Mike and I were standing there, and Mike taps me on the shoulder and says, come here and take a look at this. So I did. And there was a solid cold spot about the size of a cantaloupe on the master bed.
I had the FLIR.
Yeah, you had the FLIR.
The FLIR, yep. Thermal camera.
Yep. And we don't see major cold spots like that just for no reason with a FLIR. You know, the rest of the room looked completely normal. So I'm like, you know, I really don't know. So I decided, I walked over there. I kind of put my hand into where the cold spot was. And I could feel a temperature change, but it didn't feel super drastic. But just as I did that, the light on the nightstand, which is turned on and off by a inline switch, one of the old-fashioned, like, inline switches, so it's actually in the power cord, and it has a little rotation wheel, actually clicked, and that light turned on. And there was nobody in, well, there were four of us in the room, but the homeowners were standing right in the door frame, basically, and Mike and I were standing, I was the closest one to the bed, and Mike was standing behind me with the FLIR still, and that light turned on the table. I noted it. I said, Mike, did you see that light turn on? We made a note of it, a mental note, and then we moved on. Never could figure out what that cold spot was. Went upstairs and started looking around. Nobody in the house will use the bathroom by themselves. They go in teams. They go in pairs, and they don't close the door. Somebody has to be standing in the hallway, in the door frame, right outside the bathroom in order to use the bathroom. I found that to be a little strange. But we haven't investigated yet, so obviously Mike and I will try that out. One of us will go in there, use the bathroom. The other one will stand in the door frame, you know, and do the buddy system. And and then so we went into the son's room, and they told us that their backyard is so dark at night that they can't see anything. Nothing. Can't see anything. Can't see the trees. Can't see the lawn. Can't see the shed in the back. Can't see a tree stump that's in the back. Can't see a thing. They won't look in the backyard. And I said, well, why won't you look in the backyard? They said, because we're afraid we're going to see something. And I said, well, what are you afraid you're going to see? And they said, I'm not sure what it is, but it's not nice. It's something nasty. And we're afraid that we're going to see it, and that's going to make things worse.
And they do feel that there is something staring at them from the backyard.
Yes, that if they do happen to look out the window, that this thing is like just waiting for them to look out the window and then is just like penetrating into their soul. Well, I mean, for lack of a better term, right? So, okay, so that was another claim. So we got through that one. Then there's another bedroom upstairs where I believe it was her son, right? Her son and his girlfriend.
That's correct.
Yes, were staying for the night. And while they were in there, there was knocking from a closet door that when you open the closet door, all it has is shelves. There's just shelves in there, like to store books or store materials or whatever. And there would be absolutely no space whatsoever for any type of person, I don't care what size you are, to be standing in this closet. But they heard repeatedly knocks on the wood coming from that closet. And they were too afraid to open. Did they open it? I thought they were too afraid to open it, correct? Mike?
They
did not open it, correct? They were too afraid to open that.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, they left it alone.
Okay, now this is the same bedroom that has a doll sitting on the bed. And
that
it's a rag doll. It's not a Raggedy Ann doll, but it is a rag doll, okay, that their son found somewhere and thought that it would be something good to bring home and put in the house as a joke against their father. And the only thing I'm going to say about that doll right now is that we were standing in the room. We did a K2 sweep. There was nothing in the room until we got to the bed with the doll and the K2 took off. And
yes,
there was absolutely zero explanation for that doll to be emitting any type of K2 interference. None whatsoever. So that's interesting. That's an interesting fact.
We should also make note that out of all the toys that they give the dog absolutely despises this doll.
Yeah, wants to absolutely destroy it. Yes. All he has to do is show the doll to the dog from across the room, and the dog will lose its mind. Now,
yes.
But he also said that he teases the dog with it, like, ooh, it's going to get you. Ooh, it's going to get you. So the dog is, it looks like it's part pit bull. And so, you know, those guys like to chew on stuff. So there's a good possibility that the teasing part of that has maybe ruined that claim, in my opinion. That's not to say, though, initially that the dog wasn't having some severe negative reaction to that doll based on the fact that that doll was having some sort of negative impact in the residence. Visualizations in the television set, a relative that has been found sitting perched like a bird on the couch in the middle of the night, 2:33 in the morning, totally incoherent as to what they're doing there or what they're doing exactly. We spoke to another member of the household who told us that they were there all the time and that there was nothing for us to be concerned about and that we should basically just move on to our next case because there was nothing here that we would be able to find or to help with. I found that to be a very... Mike and I talked about this. So Mike at first was like, yeah, well, you know, that's just what she's, you know, they just said that, da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, it's the way it was said. It was presented to us like, why don't you two boys just move along because everything here is already being
taken
care of.
Move along, nothing to see here.
Right, and that's how it was delivered, and that is what my impression of that interaction all of the 40 seconds or 45 seconds that it lasted, that was the impression that I got of that. So,
right. So
Go ahead.
Dave, not to interrupt or whatever, but since we're running out of time,
yep.
I just want to make a quick interjection before we get to the final thing from the backyard.
Sure.
So basically, just a bunch of other claims. They see shadows up on the wall, down the hallway. They hear disembodied voices that always just seem to be coming from the other room. Even children, they hear children's voices. They've seen faces, like peering back at them from the, they have a detached garage. They've seen like people staring back at them, from the garage.
Yeah. From outside in the front yard.
Yep. But the relative, so yeah, they found her middle of the night, kind of perched up on the couch, just in complete darkness. They've seen her sitting in the dining room, sitting in complete darkness, just staring at the wall. And then they'll bring it up the next morning and she'd be like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
So that is all what, there's a bunch more, stuff that's going on, but I think the one thing that really tells of what we probably can expect is, what happened to Dave in the backyard.
Right. So, the whole time that I'm there, as I always do, I have my guard up. I'm completely grounded. I'm completely guarded. The amount of energy that was flying through the house was what I guarded against. It was a bombardment. And I, man, if you'd have been there, you'd understand what I'm saying. It was 3 hours of nonstop bombardment. So we go out in the backyard, and for that 5-minute walk, I let my guard down. I said, okay, I'm outside, take a deep breath before we go back inside and wrap things up. I'm just going to take a walk around, go look at the creepy tree that has the face on it in the backyard that stares at you, and stuff like that. That was my mistake. Yeah, that was my stupidity. So... I actually picked up an attachment at this site, and we weren't investigating. We were just walking through. So I picked up an attachment. I saw it. It followed me home. It wreaked a little bit of havoc in my life for 2-3 days. And then a very good friend of mine came over and helped me, and we got rid of it and moved it along its way. But I feel like Mike feels that it was kind of a foreshadowing of what we're up against when we actually get in there with equipment and we're asking questions and we're trying to get some answers. I think that we're going to run into something that isn't going to be very nice.
Yes. I almost get the feeling just from everything that was going on there and their, you know, native heritage. Our client's father was a very powerful spiritual medicine man. They've got ties to like bloodlines to some of the old, you know, most powerful chiefs that were out there.
Absolutely.
So my instinct and just kind of intuition is just saying that there is some sort of battle going on between the Native American spirits that are protecting this family and something that is trying to get in. They even told a really quick story about how, when she was younger and she went to a powwow, everybody was dressed up in their Native American, garb, and a man in black, showed up, and the father and the elders said that, he shows up to all these powwows,
and he's the devil.
He's the devil.
And he was good looking. He was
very good looking.
Yep. Charismatic.
And he when he sees all something that he wants,
yep.
he goes after it. Yes.
Yep.
I think we're going to be right in the middle of something. And I hope it doesn't, I hope we win.
Well, I'm definitely not letting my guard down again. That was a stupid mistake on my part, and I paid the price for it for 3 nights. So,
All right. Well, that does it for us. We had no time for our special guest, but that's okay.
Because
she's going to be coming up on another couple shows anyway. Yep. So you know, I bid everybody have yourselves a good night, and we will see you next week. Have a good night.
Absolutely. Yep. Later.